Salvete de Scipoli and salvete omnes. Hopefully that stupid garbage truck that's reversing right now isn't messing up the intro here, but it's been a while. I'm glad to have you guys back. I've been trying to take a break and or focus more attention on certain ones. I'm not trying to spread myself so thin. And to be honest, the podcast doesn't really get me much traction. While that being, you know, pitted against TikTok and stuff like that. So I'm trying to invest in those kinds of things, trying to get myself out there a little bit more. If you guys can help me out, spread the word, spread the rhetoric revolution, Latin in layman's. You guys, I'm trying to show that Latin is just really, learning Latin is an amplification of the understanding of the world around you. That's really what it is for me. The more you know about the language that you utilize on a day-to-day basis, the more you can manipulate it, you can curtail it. And, you know, for instance, I was on a conversation, having a conversation with my dad yesterday, my dad and my mom, and they just started asking me questions like, what's the etymology of this, this, and this, and this? They know how to get me talking. It's like when I know that I know how to get my brother talking, because sometimes my brother lacks words thereof over a phone call. Jacob, you very well know this. I love you very much. But sometimes we can just sit in silence. But I think that that's the beauty of knowing you and us knowing each other and being able to kind of still, it's kind of nice. I don't know if you have people like that, but sometimes you may be having a phone call conversation that'll just go quiet and you know the other person is on the other side of the line. And maybe it might be a little annoying, but then you think about it and you're like, they're still there. They don't need to have to say something. Sometimes the quietest in the room is the wisest in the room. So yeah, the reason why I also mentioned my brother Jacob is because I wanted to shout out Ryo in the broken world and or Rio in the broken world, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I guess my brother at this time, because of linguistics and because his wife has said that, well, it would be pronounced Ryo rather than Rio. But, you know, I say that English has so many irregularities that if you're an author of a book, you can break the rules of English. I think you're all good. I think that we see that all the time with authorship, diction, penmanship, the way in which authors write, you know, because a lot of the time it isn't perfectly grammatically oriented and or perfect dialogue, or it's not comma, skibbida bop, rob. You know, sometimes they embed grammatical, you know, mess ups within, you know, dialogue or something like that to kind of give the audience an idea of, you know, the level of knowledge that that speaker might have, right? Maybe if somebody is saying ain't and y'all and a lot of elided words, you know, darn tootin's giving near 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 near. Haven't seen that movie in a while. Great movie, kind of very disturbing as well. That's Deliverance, by the way. So, yeah, anyways, the reason why I mentioned my brother and all that stuff, yeah, thinking about doing a little bit of a reading of Rio and the Broken World for the first chapter. I would love for you guys to, if you guys like sci-fi fantasy, it kind of harkens on a post-apocalyptic idea. In fact, why don't I just go ahead and I will go grab the book here and read the back real quickly, and you guys can get an idea. It's again Ryo in the Broken World. A dark elf named Ryo and her father journey through an eerie wasteland after the mysterious demise of their world. Ryo and her father search for two things: food and their lost people. Ryo, or Ryo, must learn how to survive without magic in a world that has collapsed after the Break, an enigmatic post-war disaster that scarred reality and led to the disappearance of all but two of the elves. Ryo must traverse a land somewhere between dreams and reality, dodging the dangers left behind by the reckless society that came before her. Throughout it all, a strange and seemingly all-powerful figure creates chaos and torments Ryo and her father. Ryo races to find a way to defeat it before it claims the broken world for itself. Sorry, I kind of messed up that ending part, but that's a little bit And Jacob C. Connerly is a 25-year-old Hispanic-American writer from Santa Fe, New Mexico. He has a master's in teaching from Trinity University, and he teaches and lives in San Antonio. That bioptic was written when he was 25, so that was when he was teaching. He's no longer teaching. He has a new job writing grants for his STEM department at a college university in Trinity. So congratulate him, you guys. That's awesome. I'm so glad that he's got a new job and that he is, not being run to the ground by the education system, of which I'm still kind of being run down by. So, catch me outside. Follow my brother. He inspires me in a lot of things. I may inspire him to do the videos, but he inspires me to make moves in this world. And you know what? I'm doing that. I always will, because I'm trying my best here and I'm trying to level up. And I hope you're trying to level up too, because that's what it's all about for me. Because if I'm not leveling up, I'm kind of depressed, or I feel like I'm not doing anything, or I don't know. That being said, let's get on into this episode, because do you know what we're talking about today? It's story time, y'all. We're going to be doing the Trojan horse. Odysseus, being the cunning dude that he is. Well, not that cunning, because it kind of took him 10 years to figure out this idea. But that being said, with that ism of mind that I need to stop, we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about maybe moral implications, if there are such. If not, we can talk about the characters. Greek heroes, they're called Greek heroes, Greek warriors, more so Greek heroes, actually. But they really aren't heroes. They don't act heroic. They act like petty humans. I mean, you guys know the Iliad starts out with the line basically going over the wrath of Achilles that you end up seeing later on when Hector, kills his, well, let's be honest here, you guys, his boy toy, Patroclus. I don't think that we think about these things back in antiquity, but humans in general, we were very fluid individuals, at least the Greeks, the Romans. I think that we've come into this day and age where there's a lot more stark, divides between genders, gender roles, this and that, or that we're trying to go back to that, which I don't think is necessary by any means, because it's 2024, it's not 6980 or anything like that. So I don't know, but let's be real here. Patroclus, Achilles, maybe a little bit more than best friends. I'm not going to go more into that, but consider that. It's kind of an interesting concept. Kind of reminds me of Frodo and Sam. If you guys have ever heard of that stuff and or the kind of the sussing of it too, kind of reminds me of Achilles and Patroclus in a way. In a way. Not so much, but in certain ways. Let's get into it, though. We'll talk. If you want to talk, you can talk. I'm talking to myself right now. You can talk to yourself. You're the master of your own universe. Because once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a far away land, 10 years had passed. 10 years the sun had watched, a weary witness, as the Greeks gnawed at the walls of Troy. Blood soaked the soil, heroes fell like autumn leaves, and yet the mighty citadel remained untorn, unbowed. Agamemnon, king of men, his face etched with war's cruel chisel, saw hope die with each failed charge, despair, a venomous serpent coiled in his heart. Side note, Agamemnon is a poopy butthole. He sacrificed his own daughter Iphigenia so that he can get his troops from the shores of Greece to the shores of Troy. If you didn't know, now you know. That's called the sacrifice of Iphigenia, because Laocoon basically was, well, he was talking to the gods. He was like, hey, how do we quell the winds here so that we can actually set sail? And Athena came around, Minerva, gosh, now I'm forgetting, came and was like, sorry, Agamemnon forgot to do a little sacrifice to me, and now I'm ticked off, so now he needs to do a little bit more of a sacrifice, and the only sacrifice that I want him to do is Iphigenia, his daughter. And so he has to do this whole little runaround game, lying to his wife, lying to Achilles, because he basically was saying that, yo, Iphigenia, come on out. We're going to have you wedded to Achilles. It's going to be great. You're going to have a great time. What ends up happening actually? No. He leads her off to the altar where she thinks that she's going to get blessed, but instead, a nice little dagger stabbed right into her. Imagine dad killing their daughter to quell the winds in order for him to get to wage war. He killed his daughter so that he could further wage war. Gotta love that. But Odysseus, however, the storm really kind of like the calming of Agamemnon's anger. He refused to see the hopelessness. His mind, a labyrinth of cunning, wove a plan as intricate as Athena's loom. Beneath the cloak of a feigned retreat, he conceived a wooden monument to deceit, a colossal horse, its flanks pregnant with 40 of Greece's finest, Odysseus himself among them. Trojan horse is where we get the name for a virus, right? Because if a Trojan horse virus doesn't really get affected or affect your computer until you actually open it up. And then once you open up that Trojan horse, you in turn open up your computer to all of the malware that was embedded within that Trojan horse. Epeius, the master carpenter, sculpted the beast with haunted hands. Pine boards groaned under the blows of his hammer, each thud an echo of the war's toll. Within its belly, the Greek warriors huddled, whispering prayers to God, who seemed to have turned their gaze from the battlefield. With Agamemnon's reluctant consent, the Greeks set sail, leaving Sinon, Odysseus's chosen pawn, to weave a web of lies amongst the Trojans. His voice, dripping with feigned fear, spun a tale of the horse as a peace offering, excuse me, gross, a gilded cage for Athena's wrath. His words found fertile ground in the hearts of a people war-weary and drunk on the illusion of victory. Laocoon, priest of Poseidon, saw through the ruse. My mistake, I mentioned Laocoon to be the one that actually talked to Athena. I was incorrect. Laocoon is a Trojan. I don't know why I said that. My mistake. Take it back. Can't remember the priest. That was the Greek priest. Anyways, Laocoon, being the priest of Poseidon, saw through the ruse, like I said. He said, beware the Trojans. In fact, it's a quote within the Iliad. Aeneid. He thundered his voice, a beacon in the gathering storm of delusion. Greeks bearing gifts? It's a trap! But a serpent, Aphrodite's agent, slithered from the sea, coiling around Laocoon and his son, silencing their warnings in a gruesome table of divine retribution. Blinded by hubris, the Trojans dragged the horse within their walls, a trophy hoisted to their own doom. As twilight bled into the night, the heroes within stirred. Odysseus, fueled by a relentless hunger for victory, led the charge. They poured from the horse's hollow womb, ghosts seeking vengeance in the sleeping city. Panic turned Troy into a macabre opera. I always forget how to pronounce that. Macabre. Spelt M-A-C-A-B-R-E. Agamemnon, fueled by righteous fury, however, carved a bloody path through the streets. It was bloody. Menelaus, Helen's wronged husband, reclaimed his stolen prize, leaving Paris, the face that launched 1,000 ships, lifeless before the goddess he had dared off and offended. Come on, Liam, you wrote this. You know this. Ajax, a whirlwind of rage, stormed Priam's palace, and the aged king's pleas drowned in the clash of steel. And yet, amidst the carnage, threads of mercy flickered. Achilles' son, Neoptolemus, spared Priam's young daughter. Astyanax, plucking him from the precipice of war's savagery. Helen, once a symbol of discord, cradled Priam's widow, Hecuba, offering solace in the wreckage of the world. As dawn bled through the blood-stained cityscape, Odysseus, ever the pragmatist, ordered the city's evacuation. Flames fueled by vengeance turned Troy into a pyre, its ashes a monument to war's destructive embrace. The Greeks, victors bathed in the fire's infernal glow, sailed away, leaving behind a smoldering scar upon the world. And what about Odysseus' soul, the canvas upon which the Trojan tapestry was woven? Was it triumph that he tasted, or the bitter tang of regret? He, the weaver of victory, knew too well the price of conquest. Every Trojan life claimed was a stone upon his conscience, a weight he could carry and would carry through the storms of his homeward journey. The other heroes, too, bore their burdens. Agamemnon, his crown tarnished by blood, returned to a kingdom simmering with dissent. His wife ends up killing him, because she's ticked off, man. He killed their daughter. Menelaus, haunted by the specter of war, found solace not in his reclaimed wife, but in the ghosts of battle yet to come. Ajax, the mighty bulwark, succumbed to madness, consumed by the hollowness of victory. The Trojan War was a crucible, forging not just empires, but the hearts of men. It was a testament to the brilliance of Odysseus, the tenacity of Agamemnon, even though he was still a poopy butthole, and the valor of Ajax and the flawed humanity of them all. At this point, Achilles was dead. He had been slain. And as their ships, burdened with spoils and shadows, sailed into the uncertain future, yet one thing was certain. The echoes of Troy would resonate for generations to come. A cautionary tale whispered on the wind, a reminder that even the grandest victories, even scars that never truly healed. And there we go. Those journeys end up becoming part twos, right? That's where we get the Odyssey. The Odyssey is the telling of the story of Odysseus's return to return home after the War of Troy. Same thing with the plays, the series of plays over Agamemnon, coming home. They all really focus on the inner workings of Clytemnestra, her son. Oh man, what's her son's name again? Forget right now. If you remember, I don't know, message me. But I don't know. I mean, it did quell the war, made it stop. Imagine just being on the shores of Troy, chilling for 10 years, throwing up, you know, onslaughts, assaults here and there with little, you know, making little dents in the walls of Troy. You know, after a while, I'd be ready to go home too. And if I was Odysseus, I'd probably be pretty ticked off, because he did this because of Agamemnon, and also, you know, because of Menelaus, because Menelaus was ticked off and really upset that, you know, well, it was all pride. It was all because of a woman. You couldn't just be like, you know what? Maybe she doesn't love me. Maybe I should just accept the fact. But no. Apparently, Helen, like I had mentioned before, you know, a face that was 10 out of 10, babe. My Helen was babe. But with that, I'm going to leave it there. Just want to do a little story time. also consider about my brother's book. If you are very, well, you know what? I don't mention this. Please subscribe if you haven't. It is a way to support me. I don't know why people don't want to support. It's so easy sometimes. After my Q&A, I want to say thank you so much to Chloe and to Kalia for contributing to my Ko-Fi. Also, Ben Ewing. I believe that's Ben under the Arizona Sun on TikTok, a new Patreon supporter of mine. Hey, you know what? If you're absorbing, if you're learning stuff, I'm not asking for the blood of your newborn child. I'm not asking for you to lop off a limb. I'm asking for you to consider supporting a dude spread fairly thin, working overtime all the time as a full-time teacher while trying to also head my TikTok revolution, because TikTok is toxic, while also doing my podcast. I'm trying. Help me out. Help me out, because I'm here with you guys. You help me out, I'll help you out. You guys got questions, I'll answer them. But I also have to take care of myself. And if I'm shelling myself out to people that don't really fully appreciate it or don't, at least let me know. I'm going to stop. Or at least I'm just going to put a big old paywall on it and not really care. Because at this point, you guys, that's where I'm at. I'm frustrated by the people that watch my TikToks for the image still. But it's okay. It's whatever. I'll still be fighting the good fight. But if you haven't, consider, I'll put the links. You can go to Spotify and you can go subscribe. It's a free way to do it. Or just do Patreon. Don't do the subscription. I put the subscription there, but then I make all of the episodes free so that there's no subscription lock. I would appreciate it. I think it's gotten to that point where, you know, having done this for 3 years, I need to ask a little more from y'all, especially if you're asking so much from me. I'm not a performer. I do this for me. But if you're along for the ride and you appreciate it, then stick with me. And let's learn something new. Tempus est discedere.